Good morning. Let's do another reading from the book of Hebrews. Today we're in chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. Hebrews 9, verse 23. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have to have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So in yesterday's reading, we read the first portion of chapter 9, and we noticed, for instance, verse 11, when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of goats, the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, securing an eternal redemption. So he's been describing this idea of the priesthood and the holy places, and then the tabernacle on earth with that most holy place versus Jesus going into heaven. And so he's still on that same thought process. So when we started in verse 23, he says, "Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things." So he's talking about the altar, the book, the tabernacle. They are the copies of those real things, heavenly things. If it was necessary for them to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices for these, for Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf, as our great high priest, as our sympathizer, and as our intercessor, our Savior, who shed his blood for us. So, verse 25, it was not to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have to suffer repeatedly. His perfect sacrifice didn't require that. And that's where he's getting. He said he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One sacrifice was good enough for all time. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So if we're going to be in Christ, and we're going to stay faithful to him, then we have something to look forward to on that day. Not a day of dread, thinking about the day of judgment, but a day in which our Savior comes to collect us, those who are faithful. Then we got into chapter 10. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things, those copies, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered, the animals, they can't make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, there wouldn't be a need to keep offering them if they were actually good enough or could perfect those that draw near. Since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. Verse 3, but in these sacrifices there is a reminder. So they were reminded of their sin every year whenever they would go and offer these yearly sacrifices. But verse 4, we're very familiar with. We talk about from time to time, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So consequently, when Christ came into the world, and then he quotes here from Psalm 40, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So he explains this in verse 8 when he says, when he said it above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings offered according to the law. In other words, according to what God prescribed, these things were offered. Verse 9, when he added, behold, I have come to do your will, and he does away with the first in order to establish the second. He does away with, the sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, sin offerings offered according to the law, does away with the whole first covenant, and he has come to do the will, and he establishes the second, this new covenant that we have under Christ. Verse 10, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time Jesus had to be sacrificed, and that was a perfect sacrifice for all. Going back to the priesthood, verse 11, every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. They satisfied what God told them to do under the law, but they were not able to take away sins with those sacrifices. Verse 12, when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So again, we're back to that single offering. And he's making this contrast. Under the old covenant, you had to keep doing it all the time. It couldn't satisfy the need to forgive sins. But Jesus, he's only sacrificed one time, and not only does he bring the sacrifice of sins, but he only has to do it once. It's good for all time and for all people. And so verse 15, he quotes this passage again. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their minds and write them on their hearts. And then adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. It is at this point that the forgiveness actually comes. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. So there's no need for any more sacrifices. So again, this puts us to that question that he's working on, which is, do you want to stay with Christ? Do you want to go back to Judaism? And at this point, it ought to be becoming very clear that you don't want Judaism, which is imperfect. You want Christ and his perfect sacrifice. For without Christ, even that old Judaism is not sufficient. Thank you for listening. Please come back tomorrow, and we will continue on with our reading in chapter 10. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.